Please join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How did you do this past week in regards to doing what you were supposed to do? With the civic holiday on Monday, and maybe one or more snow days on Tuesday and the days following, as much as we might have enjoyed staying in our PJs under a blanket all day, did you get everything done this past week? Do you ever? No matter our vocations in our families, church, and society, no doubt not a week goes by in which we fail to do something. Some chore at home, Bible study at church, assignment at school, or task at work. There are not enough minutes in an hour, hours in a day, or days in the week. No doubt that if we could, we would take items off our to-do list, not put more items on those lists. And yet when we heard today's gospel reading moments ago, we might have heard Jesus essentially add two more items to our to-do lists, specifically repent and believe. Truly, Jesus proclaims, repent and believe. As we are discussing in our midweek Bible study in connection with St. John's gospel account, John the Baptizer and Jesus were both active at the same time for a while in the Judean countryside. As we heard in today's gospel reading, after Jesus was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. Jesus is both going into Galilee, the territory of Herod Antipas, who had John arrested, and Jesus is proclaiming a similar but sharper and more imminent message regarding repentance in the kingdom of God is striking, to be sure. In this season of Epiphany, however, Jesus is coming into Galilee and proclaiming the gospel of God, not to mention his passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, is perhaps more significant in that fulfilling Old Testament prophecy, Jesus is preaching to Gentiles like us, shining his great light on those who dwelt in a land of darkness, although we might wonder how Jesus is proclaiming repent and believe, two more commands, are any light at all. As I said in the last church year in regards to a different gospel reading, even reducing to two the number of commandments that we might have to do in order to save ourselves is of little help. We fail to keep the Ten Commandments, and so we fail to keep the two commandments that summarize them, love God and love our neighbors. Those two commandments might fit better on a yard sign, but on our own, we still do not keep them. And if Jesus's commands, repent and believe, had to be kept completely on our own, we also would not be able to fulfill them. For by nature, we are dead in our trespasses and sins, unable to believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. Sure, we might hear God's commandments and recognize that we fail to keep them. We may even be sorry for our failure to keep them, but on our own, we cannot truly turn away from our sins without Jesus' call to repent and believe, which itself not only denounces our sins, but also enables us to turn from them to God, trusting him to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. In today's Old Testament reading, God used Jonah after almost incredible adventures in order to call and enable the people of Nineveh to repent in the allotted time so that they would be spared the disaster that God had otherwise promised them. And in today's epistle reading, God used St. Paul in order to tell the Corinthians and us that the time left to repent is very short, for the present form of this world is passing away. Not only is the time of God's judgment fulfilled, but the kingdom of his divine appointment is at hand. Jesus' work is the greatest turning point in world history, the coming of the kingdom of God directly into the present as the miracle of God. The gospel, or the good news that the God-man Jesus calls and enables us to believe in, to have expectant confidence in, is the good news of his own victory on the cross in his battle over sin, death, and the power of the devil for us. Especially in St. Mark's gospel account, Jesus and the good news about him, his suffering and his death for us, are essentially identified. That good news about Jesus carries with it the power of God, and it affects what it proclaims. In this case, repentance and faith, and the resulting forgiveness and salvation as the gift of God. Thus, the good news about Jesus brings peace with God for all of us burdened by the guilt of our sins. And thus, the good news about Jesus also brings us great joy. In today's gospel reading, we heard how Jesus proclaimed the gospel of God. And in the next couple of weeks, we'll hear how Jesus also enacted the gospel of God. Jesus certainly surpassed all those who had proclaimed repentance and faith before him. And in some sense, those Jesus, such as Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John, whom we heard Jesus call and whom Jesus later sent to proclaim repentance and faith after him, in some sense, they surpass him. God uses those Jesus sends. He uses their not only reading and proclaiming his word, but also their baptizing in his name, their individually absolving at his command, and their distributing his body and his blood in bread and wine to transform those of us who hear, who are baptized, who privately confess, and who eat and drink. We repent and believe, and we are forgiven. And so God also gives us eternal life and salvation. The good news of Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil for us leads us to partake of the feast of victory now and ultimately also for eternity. Until then, we live each day with repentance and faith. And with God working in and through us, we begin to keep not only those two commandments, but also the Ten Commandments, at least trying to produce God-pleasing good works according to our vocations in our families, church, and society. The people of Nineveh showed outward signs of repentance and faith that God worked through Jonah, and so do we show such outward signs. For example, as Jesus did not discriminate in his proclaiming of the gospel of God, neither do we discriminate in our proclamation or in our resulting loving of our neighbors. Considering tomorrow's 45th anniversary of the landmark U.S. Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade that wrongly legalized abortion and has since resulted in the slaughter of more than 58 million unborn children, we remember that every God-given life matters, now and forever. The lives of the people of Nineveh, Galilee, and Corinth mattered. Your lives and mine matter. And the lives of every unborn infant, planned or unplanned, and the lives of every infirm senior, acute or chronic, conscious or unconscious, matter. We may suffer for such belief, teaching, and confession, but such is the cross of the Christian. Jesus proclaims, repent and believe. And so we do repent and believe. Not so much two more items on our to-do list, for God enables us to do so. Turning in sorrow from our sins to trust God to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake we have nothing to fear. In today's closing hymn, which was influenced by one of its author's struggle with illness for most of her life, and which may be new or less familiar to some than to others, in that hymn, we sing of how that lack of fear is based on the Father's choosing to give us his kingdom. We sing of how we can have good cheer because God will keep us in his love forever. We sing of how we can praise him because he stoops down to heal us, uplift and restore us. And we sing of how we can thank God for staying close beside us in all things, working with us. Let us so sing today and always. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.